Welcome to The Startup Show. I'm your host, John Biggs. In every episode of The Startup Show, we talk to an amazing entrepreneur about how they do what they do. We'll explore tactics, tricks, and techniques for building some of the coolest things on the planet. Thanks for listening and enjoy. Welcome back to The Startup Show. I'm John Biggs. Today on the show, we have Zach Townsend, CEO of Meanwhile. Welcome, Zach.
Happy to be here, John.
Yeah, where are you calling us from? Looks like you're in a, or where are you connecting to us from? Looks like you're in a jacket, which seems like might be chilly.
Yes, I'm in San Francisco, so there's always, okay, you know, fog out there.
Yeah, it's always chilly.
As I'm sure you can tell, this is a WeWork. So you got me, my co-founder and I play Go. So let's...
Oh, okay. There you go. So that's like, so yeah, so the WeWork is the pretty, really, that's still a traditional startup thing to do, just hang out in the WeWork.
Correct. Or that's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. All right. Very cool. All right. So why don't you tell us about Meanwhile?
Great. Meanwhile is a regulated life insurance company entirely denominated in Bitcoin.
Okay.
So we, yeah, it's a little weird. So we, we have a company in Bermuda. Bermuda is a legit place to have a life insurance company. Many insurers and life insurers are based there, sort of insurance capital of the world. And basically the permission we've gotten from the Bermuda regulator is that we do everything in Bitcoin. So we state our audited financials in Bitcoin. We take claim premium in Bitcoin. We pay claims in Bitcoin. We do our reserving, our solvency, our capital, all our math is in Bitcoin. And what's nice about that is then you don't care about the price of Bitcoin because, you know, as I've been running this company, the price of Bitcoin has been 70,000, it's been 15,000, it's now 70,000 again. It just doesn't matter because the balance sheet is in Bitcoin. It's like if you ran a company in euros, you don't worry every day about what the exchange rate is with the dollar. Okay. So similarly, the company's in Bitcoin. And then we write pretty standard life insurance contracts for people currently primarily in the United States, but eventually all over the world. And people do that either because they're concerned about, you know, inflation or currency or regime risk. Life insurance tends to have tax benefits in most countries that have taxes. Mm-hmm. So it's a good way. And that is just true of all life. You know, that's what, I don't know, MassMutual and New York Life would tell you about why you should buy life insurance from them. We just do that all in Bitcoin. So if you, if you're a user who thinks Bitcoin's going to be worth a lot more in the future than it is now, then it's a product that makes sense for you.
Interesting. And then the assumption is that the tax benefits of the life insurance mean that when you cash out, I guess, when you die.
When you die. You
yeah,
have to die.
The person.
I'm just saying.
You can't just fake it. You can't fake a death and like and launder the money.
Well, I will say actually, so you're sort of asking about the benefits. So one is, let's say you buy a policy. Our current policy is called Whole Life. So it lasts your whole life. And it's limited pay. So a typical policy might be you pay a tenth of a Bitcoin a year for 10 years or one Bitcoin a year for 10 years or whatever you decide. Then we promise you a fixed guaranteed payout. So you've paid a tenth of a Bitcoin a year for 10 years. That's one Bitcoin. We promise you 1.5 Bitcoin whenever you die. Or we promise your, I don't know if you're married, your wife, your kids, whatever. So what do you get from that? One, you get protection. You get hit by a bus. You know, your kids get 1.5. The second is, if you were getting, we get yield on the Bitcoin, which we can talk about, but if you, thought you could get the same yield, normally you'd be paying interest income tax every year.
Mm-hmm.
We don't pay that, so then we're compounding it tax free. The third is, benefit is you can take a policy loan against the policy, and that policy loan is tax free. So if you're the type of person who thinks that Bitcoin might be worth $700,000 or $7 million instead of $70,000 in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, then you get liquidity from the policy tax-free. And the fourth is, you know, we're in Bermuda, so I'm not one of these people, but there are people who are worried that like the US government's going to come and seize all our Bitcoin. If that's a concern you have, then having some of your Bitcoin in Bermuda, you know, sounds like a good hedge.
Okay, so what
anyway,
was the...
So primarily to get the benefit, you have to die, but there's also this policy loan element.
Yeah, you can get the loan.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of steps that goes from hey, I would like to start a business to hey, let's do a comprehensive life insurance agency based entirely on Bitcoin. I imagine there were just a few things that you guys were thinking about. Maybe you were going to think Fitbit for dogs first, and then you ended up with this. What was that process like?
Yeah, so this is my second startup and my co-founder's third startup. And the truth is that we're really, I know this is like a thing that crypto people say that can be hard to believe, but like we're really driven by like financial inclusion, financial empowerment issues. And so we were like sitting around sort of in late 2021 before we started the company. And we were thinking about life insurance, like as a savings product and like global micro policies and all this stuff. And actually, somewhat separately, we were thinking about crypto, and we were like, okay, we think there's going to be a crypto economy, and like, yeah, there's a lot of Ponzi's, and there's a lot of BS, and there's a lot of whatever, you know, like, we are really into regulatory, like, we can manage regulatory stuff, and like, we want to, like, what are the compliant financial institutions of the future in crypto? And then literally in the middle of the night, I woke up one day, and I said, well, there should be a life insurance company in crypto. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a memo, and then that memo became like the document we raised a $20 million seed round on. But yeah, now I know a lot about insurance. It's mm-hmm. actually somewhat miraculous that 2 years later, 2.5 years later, we are actually have built the company we said we were going to build in that memo, because I didn't know anything. I didn't even know what whole life was, you know? So it's sort of crazy.
That's the hardest question. Like, right. Like you go into a space that you don't know anything about, and it's nice that you admit it. It's like, it's like a lot of startups won't kind of do that. They'll say that I've always been passionate about life insurance, but you're thinking to yourself, okay, this was a blue, blue
ocean.
Yeah, I
was passionate about like fine. You know, like I went through YC in 2013. I built like what now would be called a banking as a service company. Like, I'm very interested in like infrastructure and regulation. But yeah, I mean, now I won't show you, but like, yeah, the first few months, like we were reading life insurance textbooks, mm-hmm. you know, we were like figuring it out. We knew it's a very good savings product. And you know, it's quite, it sounds so boring, but it's like quite fundamental. Like life insurance is about like what happens to your family if you die before you're supposed to. And actually an annuity is the opposite. It's like, what happens to your family if you live longer than you're supposed to? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you like have a retirement rate? So like, we understood that there was like something really meaningful here, and that lots of people in the world are underinsured, and that it really is a good like intergenerational savings product and wealth generation tool. So I think we like had these vague senses. I mean, now like, I obviously have to understand best estimate liabilities and like discounted cash flows and like present values of expected value. Like there's a lot of stuff. I mean, and on one level, like we're doing this crazy crypto Bitcoin life insurance thing. On another level, like, yeah, we built everything from scratch. Like we built a policy mm-hmm. administration system. We built a underwriting system, a KYC, AML, ATF system. That is super interesting. You know, tens of thousands of lines of code and stuff. But at the end of the day, we're very conscious that, you know, I guess we have like beginner's mind or whatever. Mm-hmm. But also culturally, what's weird about our company is although we're seven people running a fully fledged life insurance company, so we have to have like, we have a guy who has 22 years of life insurance experience. We like have a woman who, you know, 15 years of like insurance finance experience. And like, those people have to coexist with product and engineering people. And like, mm-hmm. all these cultures have to mesh together. And, literally like we use words different. That is like both where the value comes from, but it's also, it's the most challenging part of like building a company in like weird Baroque spaces, I guess.
Yeah. Is there ever a situation where the whatchamacallit's like the Northwestern Mutuals? I don't know the names of these things, but if they had like some real quote unquote insurance company comes out and says what you guys are doing isn't right, or hey, we want to buy you. Do you think that happens?
Yeah. Well, just so you have like some sense of the money we raised $7 million first from like Sam Altman and Lockie Groom and Dylan mm-hmm. Field and Parker Conrad. And then our next round after that, like seed two, I guess, was a bunch of insurance people. So Northwestern Mutual is actually an investor, MS&AD, which is a Japanese insurance company. These guys, Hudson Structure Capital Management, which is like a big asset manager in the reinsurance insurance space. It would be very, very hard just for like structural and regulatory reasons for that, for any insurance company, existing insurance company, to get into the business we're in. And the reason that is, like, imagine you have a dollar balance sheet. If you hold a bunch of crypto, it's going to be very expensive from like a capital calculation perspective. So in some ways, the unique asset we have is that we like have this crazy balance sheet in Bermuda that is entirely in Bitcoin. Do I think that someone, so I think they'll invest. I find it unlikely that these companies will come and compete with us in the near term. Is someone going to buy us? Maybe. I mean, I, that's not my goal. I like really do feel viscerally that like we have this opportunity to build a really big company. I know everyone says that, but let's like, I think that in the like crypto economy is going to be bigger and bigger and bigger every year. And that it's, and every big economy has a life insurance company. So like building a life insurance company for that like growing economy is like the biggest life insurance company by market cap in the world right now is this company Ping An, which is like the life insurance company of China. So the analogy I sort of draw is like, we're starting Ping An 30 years ago when it was like they were building this up. But honestly, someone should be trying to buy us because I think that all the, it is a giant economy. Also, we like run this long duration asset management, like we're permanent capital in crypto, which is this whole other thing. Like, I don't know. Anyway, like Apollo runs Athene and KKR runs Global Atlantic and Blue Owl just bought Kuvar. These are all like big asset managers that bought insurance companies. And the reason they did that is to like have these like big permanent capital balance sheets. And that's something that we are also building in crypto land, which like no one else has. Like if you look at Coinbase and DCG and Galaxy, these are all companies that are like built on trading. You know what I mean? They're all building.
Yeah, 100%.
Like day to day, week to week. And like we're trying to build an institution that's like decade to decade. And that just leads to all sorts of different incentives, things you can do differently. And I think crypto needs that. But also, like, we're one of the few people actually building that. So I think that's also incredibly valuable. So anyway, I'm obviously partial. I think someone should offer me $100 million right now. But
Well, maybe
I'll have to build a $10 billion company.
All right. So this is a bold move, really. I mean, it's like entering into a space, what do they call it, blue ocean kind of thing, and you're the first people wading in. Are you frightened by that or are you excited?
I guess if I was really honest, I'd say a little of both. But yeah, I'm definitely in the camp that, look, I know a lot about, payments. Like I could have started another payments company. And I think we didn't do that partially because like I struggle to understand how to differentiate yourself. I think there are people smart. Maybe there are people that are smarter than me. Like I would have never started Ramp. I get that they've become really successful, but like I didn't have the mental capacity to understand like how do I differentiate myself in like these minute details against Brex to like win. So yeah, I'm super excited to have like to have an idea that I think's really powerful and can create a ton of enterprise value and a ton of value for customers and that no one else has. And eventually other people will have it and then we'll compete with them. But you know, right now we get to invent, whole new spaces, and that's pretty cool.
All right. Well, Zach, thank you for sharing this. This has been quite a ride.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Happy to be here.
I'm John Biggs. This has been the Startup Show. We'll see you next episode.